Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
It's the Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC. About 150,000 New York City school kids had to navigate this slushy morning without their usual school buses. As you well know, the union workers who drive those buses went out on strike. The big issue, job security, if new bus companies win the contracts in a competitive bid. You just heard the mayor object to the idea that they would want their jobs and their pay scales secured. And he says a court won't even let the city do that when they put out a contract for a competitive bid. Yesterday on the show, we heard WNYC education reporter Beth Fertig explain both sides. Today, we'll hear an argument for the mayor's position from Nicole Gelinas, New York Post columnist and contributor to the City Journal, published by the conservative Manhattan Institute think tank. We'll also hear why she is skeptical about some of the things in the Sandy relief bill that the House passed last night and the sick leave bill that the city council will eventually consider. We also want your phone calls, listeners, on either side of the school bus strike. Or if you're ambivalent, that's okay, too. Call us up, 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. In fact, drivers, since you're out on strike, if any of you happen to be home listening right now, we would love to hear from you. 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. Let's talk about the issues raised in this school bus driver strike. Let's see. We were having a little phone problem. Do we have Nicole? We still don't have Nicole. So let's play a clip as we're trying to fix the phone of the union leader, Mr. Cordiello, arguing that this approach threatens the safety of the children on the buses.
We are not opposed to a bid. We welcome a bid. We think competition is okay. We think that you have to, for the safety of the children in New York, you have to provide the best experienced drivers that you have.
And does he have a point, listeners? A lowest bidder model for something like school bus drivers, he argues, and obviously it's in his interest to argue this because he's representing the workers who want the job security. They want the pay that they're making guaranteed, along with keeping their jobs. But does he have a point that a lowest bidder model for something like school bus drivers encourages companies who might hire younger, less experienced drivers? If you're a public school parent, is this what you want for your kids? Is this the way you want the city to save money? Yasmeen Khan from our education website, schoolbook.org, is with me in the studio. Hi, Yasmeen.
Good morning.
You've been talking to parents, right?
I have. I was actually out with a parent this morning. I did the commute from Clinton Hill to school in Borough Park. So I was with Lori.
How'd you go?
It went.
Without a school bus, what route
did
you take?
We took the subway. Uh-huh. And so I went with a parent named Lori Podvesker, and her son, Jack, gets door-to-door bus service usually. He does like to take the train, so today was a fun adventure. But I think the point is it will wear over time. Jack has cerebral palsy, so he has low muscle tone, so the extra walking and things like that will definitely wear, not to mention the routine will wear out, the lack of routine, rather.
I guess so. WNYC education reporter Beth Fertig also joining us in the studio. Beth, there's this legal question that I don't understand the union's position on, and maybe you can explain it. The mayor, as you were explaining on the show yesterday, tried to give a driver's union what they want in a previous school bus driver's contract, I think pertaining to pre-K kids, to put in the contract for these bids that the present drivers need to be given the job security. And a court struck it down. So on what basis did the court strike it down? And how can the union argue that this is different, which they're trying to argue?
These employee protection provisions, as they're known, mean that a driver, if their route is dropped and a different company takes over the route, that they will maintain their salary and seniority, pension, everything stays the same. And that's been around since 1965. when it was taken out in 1979, the union went on strike, and that strike lasted for 13, 14 weeks. The city put those protections back into its contracts with Local 1181, and it's been there ever since. But what you're referring to is in 2011, the city took over the bus routes for pre-K from the Department of Transportation and put those out for bid and decided to include employee protections for the first time. They had never before been in the pre-K bus routes. And the companies didn't like that, the bus companies. So they went to court and they won. So even though the city had originally wanted to include those protections in more bus contracts, it lost in court in 2011. And that is what the Bloomberg administration is pointing to now. They're saying the court struck it down. That means we don't have to include these protections anymore in any contracts.
Not only don't have to, but may not, is the mayor's argument.
Exactly. That's illegal. And the union says, no, 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 that just applied to the pre-K routes. That ruling does not apply to all other bus routes, but the city disagrees. And if you read the language, it does seem to imply that there's room for the city to prove that if these employee protections will assure continuity and good service and experienced drivers perhaps at a lower cost, maybe there's room to include them. But the city says, no, it's really saying don't include them at all.
Let's hear from some parents calling in. Here is John in Brooklyn. John, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Hi, thank you. My son is autistic, and he goes to a school for autistic children that bus service has gotten cut off.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're dealing with autistic children, one of the most important things is routine. You keep things absolutely the same. And while my son was okay, lots of other kids in his school were completely shattered by not going to school on the bus, not coming home on the school on the bus. It seems like a very small thing for a regular kid, but it was a really big thing for a special needs kid with autism.
And that's exactly what the parent that I was with this morning was saying, too. I mean, when I was riding the subway today, obviously it could be an adventure for 1 or 2 days, but not having that sense of routine and not seeing the same bus driver even every day.
Right. But, John, that's not a good enough argument, is it, to have the city not put contracts out for bid, to kind of give the power to a union to threaten a strike over anything, you know? Because you don't want to even have the risk of breaking continuity for your kid?
Well, I feel so many times in politics and political situations, I feel both sides are wrong. It's wrong of the city not to find a way, and there's always some legal language that gets around a court decision of this kind, and it's also wrong of the bus drivers to strike. So they're both wrong. And the question is, can someone step in whose rights not to find a path that
to yes,
Gordian knot, and get the school bus drivers what they need to live, and get the city what it needs in the way of cost.
There you go. And we need a good labor mediator to solve this. John, thank you. And Beth, I understand that you have news to report on the legal front this morning.
Right. One way that this strike could be stopped, apparently, is the coalition of bus companies. Sorry, there's about a dozen of them that have the contracts with this union. They have filed a complaint just now, two complaints with the National Labor Relations Board's regional office, accusing the union of unfair labor practices. Basically, what they're saying is this is a dispute between the city and the union. It should not affect the bus companies, so they are engaging in an illegal strike. They want the NLRB to issue an injunction to stop the strike, and they are seeking to have an expedited consideration of this.
Is it an illegal strike, though? Do you think that's a strong argument? Because as we discussed yesterday, these are not public employees. They're private employees of the contracting bus companies. And so they're not covered under the same law as, say, a police officer would or a teacher would, for whom it is illegal to strike.
Right. But what the companies claim is that because this dispute has to do with these employee protections, which the city is taking out of the contracts, it's not their fault. And so this should be between the city and the union, and they have nothing to do with it. They also claim that they have a contract with the bus drivers union, and that contract happened to expire on December 31st. And they're not allowed to strike unless they first tried to have negotiations. And there was never an impasse or anything like that. And so they're saying they just walked off their jobs without even trying to negotiate a new contract with us. Here's so that's their argument.
Here's another parent calling in. Joe in Manhattan. Joe, thank you so much.
Hi, good morning. Thank you. I'm a parent of a special needs child. And my question is very simple. I'd like to hear the city take a position on the importance of busing relative to special needs children. My son spends 3 hours a day on the bus, an hour and a half to school, an hour and a half back. And I, quite frankly, have some problem with the idea that he's going to be potentially entrusted to the lowest bidder. So the city says, well, they want to spend more money on classrooms, but busing is critically important, given the amount of time the children are there and the need for support and safety. Is there any thought to how they could go beyond simply the lowest bidder?
Joe, thank you. And I think we do have Nicole Gelinas ready to go. Is she on the line right now? New York Post columnist and contributor to the City Journal, published by the conservative Manhattan Institute think tank. She has written on the mayor's side of this controversy. Nicole, thanks for joining us. Welcome back to WNYC.
Good morning. And I'm not writing on the mayor's side. It's just the side that is more reasonable for taxpayers and for the schools.
That's what a columnist does. You take the opinion that you think is right. So I don't know if you heard the last caller who's a parent of a special needs child who spends about an hour and a half each way on the bus every day. And he's concerned with exactly what the union president was arguing in the clip that we played before. And that is that this is the safety of his, you know, precious baby. And he does not want that to simply go to the lowest bidder.
Well, the contracts would require everyone to have the appropriate commercial driver's license. Everyone has to pass a background check, drug checks, everything else, same as it is right now. And there's really no reason why the bidder wouldn't want to hire many of the same drivers and pay them to do a good job. The only thing they're getting rid of here is basically a city-financed oligopoly of these companies that have been operating under the same contract since 1979, just getting inflation-linked increases for the contracts every year. You know, this is not what the private sector is for. The only reason to have the private sector do it is to get the effect of competitive bidding. If they're not going to do competitive bidding, then bring it in-house.
But if labor costs are not the things that they're going to bring down the most with the competitive bids, then why wouldn't they more easily agree to these employee protection provisions?
Because if you have a bidder who might be from out of state, even from international, you look at some of the companies that run bus service, you know, Veolia, some of the European companies, they want to be able to bring in their own workforce and their own scheduling and all of those things. You're not going to bid and commit to a price if you know you're not going to be able to touch the labor force at all.
Beth Fertig also with us, our education reporter, and Yasmin Khan, education reporter. Beth, how many routes were actually running this morning? And I understand there's a report of police being called to picket lines.
Yeah, there's about 7,700 bus routes in total in New York City. And the Department of Education says because some of them are not bus companies that have contracts with this particular union that's striking. So as a result, 3,000 of the 7,700 routes are still running. But as in total, they're telling me that that translates to about 38% of the kids with special needs who rely on yellow buses are getting their buses this morning or got them, and 12% of the general education students got their buses this morning.
Does that mean that some drivers or some locals of the union, if that's the right terminology in this case, are not honoring the picket lines or deciding not to go out on a supportive strike?
No, what it means is that, as I said, Local 1181 doesn't have every single bus route because there are companies that have other workers that are not in that particular union.
Right.
So if they have other unionized workers, they're probably not honoring the picket line and it doesn't affect them. They're going to keep working. But there have been incidents at, the city says, four bus depots where there were picket lines this morning. Police were called to the scene because the union workers were not allowing the buses to leave.
And did those buses get out?
Yes, they did.
Let's take another call. David in Springfield, New Jersey, peering across the Hudson at New York City's troubles. Hi, David.
Hi, good morning.
Go ahead.
My understanding was that under city contracts, contractors had to pay the prevailing wage. Now, everyone's talking about minimum wage drivers, this, that, and the other, but I wonder what the prevailing wage would be if that were applicable to this labor situation. Thanks.
Okay, thank you very much. Nicole, I don't know if you understood his question. I know that you've written that these bus drivers in question make from $30,000 to $60,000 roughly. And so there may not be a prevailing wage provision in the contract, or there may be, but how much do you want, how little do you want school bus drivers to be able to be paid?
Well, you have to pay enough to attract good qualified people, and it's probably well within the range of what they're being paid. You know, having a license to drive a large vehicle is something that's valuable in the marketplace. You having a clean record, having experience, including experience at these companies, all of these things, you know, a company is going to want to hire people, not have them leave after a few months, not have high turnover like you have in minimum wage jobs. So, you know, people should feel confident if they've got the skills and they've got the experience, they will most likely have a job at these new companies. In fact, it could be good for the drivers to get rid of a system that in the past, maybe not right now, but up until at least 2007, had quite a bit of collusion, illegal activity at the bus companies themselves. None of that was good for the drivers.
Why wouldn't the union believe that? Because apparently they don't.
Well, I think they're, you know, Michael Benjamin wrote in the Post yesterday, and I agree, I think they're being advised very badly just on the political merits of it. They don't have the clout. You know, this strike may not be illegal like the transit workers union strike of 2005 was, but they don't have the clout or the resources to finance a long strike. You know, what's the end game for them? How long are they going to stay on strike? And at what point is the city going to use that as an excuse to get out of these contracts and start over? This is not going to be good for the drivers.
And as we run out of time, what's your prediction on that score? That strike back in the 70s lasted so many weeks. What do you see as the prospects for this?
My prediction is that I don't think the mayor is going to allow for chaos to reign in the school bus strike for more than a couple days. If this goes on for a while, it's going to cost a tremendous amount, not just in money, but your complexities, kids not getting to school, safety issues, parents not being able to get to work. And I don't think the mayor will put up with it for very long.
Therefore what? He would cave to the union's demand, put the employee protection provisions back in the contract and take their chances in court?
No, I don't think so, because if he were going to do that, he would have done it already. You know, you cave before the strike.
So what is it that he would do in a couple of days?
I don't think whatever happens is going to end up being good for the drivers. I think they should have allowed the contracts to be rebid and allow the marketplace to work and to have confidence that they've got the skills to get a good job in this marketplace, as most of them do.
Nicole Gelinas, New York Post columnist, City Journal contributor, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Yasmin Khan, very briefly, I wonder if you see the parents as a force in this. If the parents get more and more disgruntled, will it force the mayor's and the union's hands into a settlement?
That's a good question, but you know, as a caller just said a few minutes ago, the bus issue is an issue every day. The strike is attracting a lot of attention, but these are parents who send their children on buses for hours in the morning and in the afternoon. So that's why there's a lot of sensitivity on their part to who is driving the bus.
And Beth, how do you see this ending, if you can predict?
I think the union and the mayor have really dug themselves in over this court ruling. And so if anything's going to end the strike, it's going to be the bus companies if they get an injunction from the National Labor Relations Board to stop the strike.
Beth, thanks a lot. Yasmin, thanks a lot. Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up next, we will meet New York City's, in fact, the East Coast's first Asian American member of Congress, Grace Meng from Queens, sworn in last week. Stay with us.